Hi, everyone. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford, sitting alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, I guess I should say welcome back to Packers Unscripted. We took a little summer hiatus here during the downtime, but we are back because football is right around the corner. Training camp just days away at this point.
Yeah, Mike, I don't know about you. I really dedicated myself this offseason to becoming the best writer, the best, you know, commentator that I could possibly be. Lost a few pounds in the process.
Oh, good for you.
But the biggest thing is really got to put that work, you know, into place here with training camp around the corner. How quickly it goes by. I was joking around with some people. It seems like just yesterday, you know, it was the end of the season, final locker room. 6 months later, here we are.
Yeah, here we are. And we've got a couple of shows here to preview training camp before that first practice, which will be Thursday morning at 8:15 a.m. So in previewing training camp over a couple of episodes, we're going to take kind of go through position by position like we've been doing on our website with stories. Today's episode, we will focus on the offense, and I guess we might as well start right at the top at quarterback. Aaron Rodgers, he's the man. My question for you is, as we get into training camp in the preseason, do you see Aaron Rodgers playing any more, any less in the preseason games than he did last year? Because he didn't really play a whole lot in the preseason last year by design.
Yeah, right. It's going to be interesting to see exactly what the plan is for Rodgers now entering his 13th season. He would be quick to mention that I believe it's his 10th now as a starter.
So that's right.
It's a little bit different from that regard. He you know, obviously spent 3 years learning behind Brett Favre. So now he's in the driver's seat, as you said. And it is interesting to see these guys when they get into their 30s, how they structure themselves. Rodgers has put a lot of work in the offseason the past few years, making sure that he has his body right, making changes to it. I remember, I think you were a part of that huddle when he was talking about trying to be the lightest he's been going into a season like this. Now, how exactly do Alex Van Pelt, Mike McCarthy, and the rest of the offensive coaches want to structure his preseason will be interesting to watch. They have four quarterbacks to work off of.
Right.
They have three other guys that can absorb reps, and along with a healthy Brett Hundley. The thing I guess I'm looking for is probably that preseason action, and I'm guessing you probably put that line at 1.5 games right now in terms of how much he's going to play, when he's going to play. The Packers have done it in a variety of different ways over the years. Seeing exactly how they want to structure that is probably going to be the biggest key to where they feel he's going to be in week one.
Yeah, it's about finding that balance between getting Rodgers the reps he needs with the new weapons in the offense,
right.
Martellus Bennett, Lance Kendricks, and whatnot, but also not taking too much of an injury risk. I think Rodgers would even argue that the reps he's going to get with his new tight ends in practice are going to be more valuable than the ones in the preseason games, because he's discussed before how defenses, opposing defenses, are so plain, so vanilla in the preseason. I mean, what's a 10th year starter like Rodgers going to really gain from going up against completely basic defenses? The more important reps really will be on the practice field.
Yeah, and I think you remember last year was one of the night practices where Jared Cook ends up coming back after he had that offseason foot injury, and that first practice, him and Rodgers looked like they'd been together for 5 years.
Yeah.
So seeing exactly how he's able to utilize Martellus Bennett, Lance Kendricks, these new weapons in this offense, I think is going to be really important for him in developing that chemistry. And also, you know, this offensive line, you know, Jahri Evans coming in now.
That's right.
So exactly getting a feel for him and what he expects. He's said it before, I'll say it again. Those practice reps in training camp, really for a guy like Rodgers, are the most important thing this time of year.
Continuing with the quarterback depth chart, Brett Hundley at number two. There's also Joe Callahan and undrafted rookie Taysom Hill out of BYU. Last summer was supposed to be the summer of Brett Hundley. It didn't work out that way because of an ankle injury. He didn't play nearly as much in the preseason as hoped. So he's looking to get a lot more preseason snaps this year than in 2016. But his injury last summer is what led to the emergence of Joe Callahan. A surprise Division III undrafted player ends up making the 53-man roster at the end of camp. But now there's another undrafted rookie looking to maybe be the Joe Callahan of 2017 in Taysom Hill. I think we all know Brett Hundley is the number two on this team. I think this is a legitimate competition for number three going into this, don't you?
Yeah, I do, Mike. And obviously this isn't like last year where on paper they had five preseason games coming in, so you thought all those guys were going to get a lot of reps. You're back to four, but still, I think Brett Hundley is going to get a healthy amount of reps. But seeing exactly how they split up those spots between Joe Callahan, who had a phenomenal preseason a year ago,
yep,
and a guy like Taysom Hill, a really veteran rookie, 5 years at BYU, had an injury history, but everybody understands his athleticism and what he brings to the table. I think that's going to be one of the most intriguing battles to watch in training camp and seeing exactly who is the person that steps up to grab that number three spot.
All right. Well, we've got plenty more guys on offense to talk about here as we preview training camp. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford joined by Wes Hodkiewicz. Wes, as we continue to work our way through the offensive depth chart position by position to preview training camp here at running back, we all know it's going to start with Ty Montgomery. Mike McCarthy declared the end of the draft on that third day. The Packers drafted three running backs, and Mike McCarthy said Ty Montgomery is our number one running back. What do you look for from him during training camp and the preseason?
Well, let's start with the offseason program, Mike. And certainly, I joked about it in the intro, everybody talks about getting leaner, stronger, whatever, during the offseason program. Ty Montgomery was a physical specimen when he returned back to Green Bay in April. I mean, I don't know if there's an ounce of fat on that guy right now. He took it incredibly serious in terms of his development as a running back, working in the classroom with Ben Sermons. But now also, I think there's a lot of motivation there for him to prove that he can be an every down guy. He can be counted on in every situation. And certainly from a mental standpoint, I think has every capacity to be able to handle that position.
No question.
It's just about putting into action now. And he did everything he could going into this training camp to make sure that he can be reliable in that capacity.
Yeah, and as we talked about with Rodgers, it will be interesting to see just how many reps Montgomery gets in the preseason games, because while you want him to get acclimated to being that number one running back, he obviously got a taste of it in the second half of last season. You want him to be prepared, but 16 games plus hopefully more in January is a long haul. You don't want to wear these guys out,
right?
A guy that you know is your number one guy. So again, it'll be a finding the balance type of situation there for the Packers and the coaching staff. So we know who the number one running back is. The real question here going into training camp is who will be the number two. Three draft picks: Jamal Williams out of BYU in the fourth round, Aaron Jones out of UTEP in the fifth round, Devontae Mays, out of Utah State in the seventh round, plus two undrafted rookies in Caleb Phillips and William Standback. So you have five rookies competing behind Ty Montgomery for where they will fall on the depth chart. There's only going to be so many snaps in the preseason games and only so many handoffs, but every one of those for those rookies is going to be really important.
Yeah, at least we forget also you have Aaron Ripkowski, who come the regular season could potentially be taking some of those short yard situations, some of those third down situations.
Sure.
But the young guys, this is going to be their time to shine. The Packers scaled back their running plays when you look at their offseason program. They focused heavily on the pass.
That's right.
Well, now it's going to take a couple weeks here, but once they start getting the pads on, this is where we're going to see what Jamal Williams, Aaron Jones, and Devontae Mays are all about. Not to take anything away from those undrafted guys, certainly they're going to have plenty of opportunities too. But those three running backs, I can't tell you, Mike, how many times you and I were asked about them during the offseason with the Insider Inbox, with fans just on Twitter. People want to know who these guys are. I think on paper, Jamal Williams is probably the most complete of the three when you look at their college careers. Devontae Mays certainly had his moments, but there were injury issues there and other things in play. And Aaron Jones was incredibly successful at UTEP, but then there were questions about the level of competition. So going into this thing, three guys that I think all have a legitimate chance at really not only making this team, but trying to make a play for significant playing time during their rookie seasons.
Yeah, there's no question about it. You look at it's an interesting mix, these three draft picks. Jamal Williams is sort of body-wise, he kind of looks like your quintessential power running back. Aaron Jones, statistically, you look at what he did at UTEP, kind of the home run hitter guy, lots of
right,
big runs, long runs in his college career. And then Devontae Mays, a guy who, you know, made his way through a couple of junior colleges and then had one very, very strong season at Utah State, then had some injury issues. A running back that doesn't have a whole lot of tread on the tires, you might say. There's a lot of possibly untapped potential there with a guy like Mays. You mentioned Aaron Ripkowski at fullback. There's another fullback in training camp here, Joe Carriage, who was a rookie last year out of Michigan. And I don't know if the Packers are going to have room necessarily for two fullbacks again on the roster, but I will say this. If Joe Carriage proves to be one of the best guys on special teams through training camp in the preseason, the Packers will find a place for him.
Yeah, Carriage was a stud at Michigan on special teams. I remember talking to Jake Ryan about that last year, his former teammate and roommate. That's where he made a lot of his plays, was in that special teams capacity. And then also, you know, being able to contribute to the offense. I just love the magnetic pull of fullbacks in this offense and in this on this roster. You know, John Kuhn moves on, goes to New Orleans. I think it took about, what was it, 3 or 4 weeks before, well, here's Joe Carriage now, and then another couple weeks after that, he ends up on the active roster. Packers really like both of those young fullbacks. They play off each other really well, and yeah, as much as we focus on all these running backs competing for spots, there's a really hungry kid in Joe Carriage that wants to show, okay, I made it on the 53 last year, now I want to stay there.
Yeah, Aaron Ripkowski, a guy becoming one of those cult heroes, much like John Kuhn, but not for no reason. This is a player who has produced. He's been doing what he's been asked to do, and he's a guy who has the confidence of the quarterback in Aaron Rodgers to function in the offense the way they need him to.
We all saw the power and strength during his rookie season, particularly in that game in Carolina when he was bulldozing all their defensive backs. But last year we saw that this is a guy that can be a complete fullback, an alternate for the Pro Bowl last year. After his season, he proved that he could run the ball. He proved that he was competent as a third down pass protector. That's everything you want in a fullback in Green Bay, and Ripkowski's shown he can do it.
No question. Well, with that, Wes, we're going to throw it to another break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. I'm Mike Spofford. He's Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, let's move on to wide receivers and tight ends here as we preview training camp. At the wide receiver position, we know who the big three is or are. Jordy Nelson, Devontae Adams, Randall Cobb. Starting with Jordy Nelson, certainly no complaints, about the season he had in 2016. But the old adage is that players an extra year removed from that reconstructive knee surgery can be even better. Is there a way for Jordy Nelson to be even better in 2017?
Yeah, I think there is, Mike, and that's not just hyperbole. I think when you look at the way he plays the game, that potential is certainly there, and his skill set, I think, is, and I've said this numerous times, I think is going to make him a threat for years to come in this offense, because he can play inside, he can play outside. There's so many different ways that you can use him to create mismatches against the secondary. And honestly, let's look at this whole season in total from Nelson a year ago. Over 1,200 yards, led the league with 14 touchdown passes. It allowed him to be the NFL Comeback Player of the Year. A few weeks ago, he ended up being the ESPY's best comeback athlete looking at all those sports. That was a year for the ages, but I think the big thing is, and you talked to him this offseason, Nelson, that isn't it. This isn't the end of the road. He didn't just complete the comeback. He wants to be better than he ever was. And when you look at his history with Aaron Rodgers and just what he's done in this offense and how he can make himself valuable, I think this is a guy that has a lot of football ahead of him yet.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think there's a lot to look forward to with Jordy Nelson. And you talk about a guy at a different stage of his career now, Devontae Adams. His third season was what everybody was hoping for in his second season. That didn't happen mostly due to injuries in 2015. But in 2016, Devontae Adams, 997 yards, comes up just shy of 1,000. 12 touchdowns, tied for second in the league behind his own teammate there in Jordy Nelson. And boy, we saw what Devontae Adams can do when he's healthy, and if he can stay healthy, that continued growth and maturity and that trust with Aaron Rodgers that is, you know, continues to grow to the level perhaps that he has with Jordy Nelson. It's I know it's an old cliche, but the sky kind of seems to be the limit for this guy.
Yeah, and it's just funny how much things change over a year. I've gotten into so many little spats with Packer fans in different forums about, well, when you look at the cornerbacks, how can you have confidence there? The outside linebackers don't have enough depth. The number one question you and I were answering last year from a lot of people is, well, do the Packers have what they need at receiver? Should they have drafted somebody in the first round? Then you have Jordy Nelson come back the way he did, and you had Devontae Adams step up how he did now that he was finally healthy. This is a great young playmaker, not only in this offense but in this league. And I thought the biggest thing that stands out to me when you look at Devontae Adams' game, he had some tremendous catches. He had some tremendous moments. He was really effective in the red zone like Nelson was. But his confidence is just it's unmatched. It didn't matter. I mean, you put his videos of his interviews from 2015 and 2016 next to each other from week 15 or 16. It's the same guy.
Yeah.
He didn't fluctuate at all. He understands what he does well, and he has confidence in that. His offseason went back to the same thing he's done the last few years. He worked out with Richard Rodgers. He caught passes from Derek Carr, now one of the NFL's top young quarterbacks.
Yep.
There's a lot there with Devontae Adams, and I think there's a lot of excitement about where he could go now in year four.
And another guy definitely worth talking about, Randall Cobb. Personally, I see this as a big year for Randall Cobb. I think he's coming into 2017 as maybe as hungry as he's ever been, because 2014, he had the big season. He got the big contract in the offseason. But the last 2 years, he's never really been able to completely shake the injury bug, whether it's a shoulder or I think he had an ankle issue maybe
hamstring.
At some or hamstring. Maybe that was it.
There was an ankle too, I think.
Yeah. All of these things, you know, have slowed him down to the sense that he knows he hasn't been able to perform the way he believes he's capable of performing. We saw in the playoff game last year against the Giants, Jordy Nelson goes down with the broken ribs, and you know, Randall Cobb catches 3 touchdown passes, including the Hail Mary at the end of the first half. Everything is there. Now, there's only so many footballs to go around in this offense. But I'm looking personally, I'm looking for a big year from Randall Cobb.
The big statement that Mike McCarthy and I know Luke Getsy made this offseason was they just need to find ways to get him the football. And I think you saw that in the playoffs. The first thing is you have to be healthy. We see that with any of these playmakers. You have to have your 2 feet underneath you, and you have to be confident that when you cut, you're going to be able to do it sharply and effectively. With Cobb, I thought they ended up having a pretty good plan. Yes, the season didn't go according to plan for him, but when they did get down the stretch, they gave him some time off. They knew they needed to have him ready for the playoffs, and then, as you have it, Jordy Nelson goes out with a rib injury against the Giants, and then here's Randall Cobb, I think within a span of a few plays, catching the Hail Mary before halftime in that game. He had a magnificent postseason last year. If he can carry that over now with a healthy offseason, I think there's still big things in his future. The other thing to keep in mind, too, seventh-year veteran, still only 26 years old.
Yeah. And we'll have to see how the depth chart really will shake out through training camp in the preseason after those big three. You have Jeff Janis entering his fourth season in the league. Trevor Davis, a second-year guy, was a fifth-round pick out of Cal last year, so showed some flashes as a rookie. Geronimo Allison, an undrafted guy from Illinois, who definitely made a name for himself down the stretch. Now, he'll be suspended for the first game of 2017, so when it comes to that 53-man roster cut down at the end of training camp, Allison will go on the suspended list. So that potentially opens up a door, at least temporarily, for another player to make that 53-man roster. You add 2 draft picks this year, D'Angelo Yancey out of Purdue, Malachi Dupree out of LSU, both third-day draft picks. A lot of competition to watch here in training camp.
Yeah, Dupree I was really impressed with. I thought he had a really nice offseason program. As you mentioned, Trevor Davis goes into that. Max McCaffrey finishing last year on the 53. He's in this thing. So it's wide, it's deep, and the competition's going to be hot and heavy once camp starts.
All right, well, we've got to get to another break, Wes. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford next to Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, last but certainly not least in our offensive training camp preview here, the offensive line. The Packers, much like last year, although last year it didn't turn out the way maybe we expected at the end of camp, but the Packers go into training camp pretty much knowing where they stand with the starting five. Bakhtiari and Bulaga at the tackles, Lane Taylor and new free agent Jari Evans at the guards, and Corey Linsley at center. Linsley, a guy who missed all of OTAs and minicamp due to a recovery from an off-season ankle surgery. And you mentioned Evans earlier in the show, you know, kind of getting assimilated, working his way into this Packer offense. So there's a little bit of the cohesion and chemistry work maybe to do up front with those starters.
Yeah, the one thing is, though, I mean, you look at Evans now going to be lining up next to Brian Bulaga. I expect that to be a pretty seamless transition, how big of a pro Bulaga's been and how many different guards he's actually worked next to during his, you know, his career to this point.
Yep.
Two of the best tackles in the game, and Bakhtiari coming off of his first Pro Bowl, first All-Pro appearance, and Bulaga. I know there's a lot of confidence there with Aaron Rodgers and those two guys. They will, again, be the strength of this line. But, you know, Lane Taylor was a gamer last year. He stepped up, didn't really skip a beat, you know, after replacing Josh Sitton in week one. Corey Linsley was dealing with that hamstring issue, kept him out the first seven games. This ankle injury, he said, was kind of stemming from that. They sort of one led to another.
That's right.
Well, now you get Linsley back. He expects to be full go. I don't know if it'll be at the start of camp, but he doesn't expect it to be anything that inhibits him from, you know, being able to be the starter in week one, and then Evans being the pro he is. Those are five good options, and I think the Packers feel pretty good about where they stand.
Yeah, I think it's worth mentioning, giving a shout-out here to Lane Taylor, because when training camp ended last year and the move was made with Josh Sitton, Lane Taylor was sort of the story of the opening part of the season, and he became the biggest non-story
right.
of 2016 because he just stepped in and played, and he did his job. He had the confidence of his teammates all the way along, but he very quickly earned the confidence of the fan base as well because nobody was talking about him, and that's, in a lot of ways, what offensive linemen like.
Yeah, and the thing you got to remember, too, I mean, the end of the preseason, his name sort of came up because there was a couple rough outings that he had those last two games, and then as it turns out, he ends up being perfectly fine stepping in there and being able to work in unison with both J.C. Treader and then Linsley, building that chemistry with Bakhtiari, a really good first year for him as a starter.
Yeah, now the Packers developing Jason Spriggs, a draft pick from a year ago, as a backup tackle, both on the right and left side. Looks like veteran Don Barkley may be the number one option at any of the three inside spots as far as a first backup at center or either guard. And then you've got a lot of other younger guys, Lucas Patrick, Kyle Murphy, you know, a lot of guys here that that the Packers will be taking a close look at.
Be a big one to watch to see who steps up behind that starting five.
All right, well, we've got to get out, Wes, and we'll look forward to our next show. But for now, Wes Hodkowitz on Twitter, he's at Wes Hod. I'm at Mike Spofford. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. And if you want the team account on Twitter, that's at Packers. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We will see you next time.